Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mitigating Risk by Blaise Corvin, narrated by Emily Beresford. Bittertown. I stared into the beautiful, dimming eyes of an unfamiliar girl, and my world wavered. I'd seen death before, but this violence had been so sudden, so senseless, my mind struggled to keep up with the events that had led me here. This day had seemed like it would be normal, maybe even lazy and stress-free. Where had everything gone wrong? I wanted to blame it on the strange girl. I already knew my pack would, but it seemed to me she'd just been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Come to think of it, that could describe most of my life as well. In the space between moments, as the world around me grew darker with each breath, I reflected on my own existence. Would I die like this shiner, this beautiful stranger, one day? Would that even be such a terrible thing? My life hadn't exactly been wonderful up to this point, after all. Memories I had not examined in ages were dusted off and re-examined, all within the space of 2 heartbeats. As usual, my memories began with my father. I'd loved my birth mother dearly and respected my first mother, but I'd always been a bit of a tomboy. My father worked a lot, but he had always made time for me. My father had been Terran, had even come from Earth, so he'd put value on Earth languages. I'd been taught English, Russian, and Hindi from a young age, as well as Terran units of measurement. I'd used them since I was a little girl. I had just thought they were cooler than standard Luda. I guess it was part of why I didn't have many friends growing up. Their loss. I'd always liked languages. My family had had some money, so it was kind of embarrassing now, but I'd had a tutor as a little girl. Some people told me I was something of a prodigy back then, able to pick up languages really fast. Well, fat lot of good that did me. I wish I'd learned more useful skills than math and Russian when I'd had the chance to study. The day had started fairly normally for me. The streets of Bittertown were kind of slimy and smelled like garbage, as usual, but a breeze from the Berber Sea almost made everything salty and fresh. Almost. The weather was kind of warm, but bearable. I had been bleeding time with my jackal packmates, including my best friend, Arin. Arin was a tough bitch, but unlike me, she was sort of pretty, too. Nobody would ever mistake me for a lord's first wife or anything crazy like that. I was built more like a man, which was great for busting heads, but not so great at actually attracting men. Arin was almost everything I wanted to be, except she liked female bodies. I didn't understand that, and even thinking about it brought back some bad memories that I really didn't want to deal with. Maybe that's a story for later. Probably not. Anyway, Arin was my best friend, and she'd even saved my life before. I'd known Arin since we were little girls. My family and I used to live in a big, fancy house. We'd been happy. I didn't exactly grow up with an aluminum spoon in my mouth, but I had a future ahead of me. A real future. I'd never been very pretty or super smart, so I probably wasn't destined to be a first wife. But I usually wasn't dumb either. And Creator knows I can get stuff done if I put my mind to it. All of that came crashing down when my father got arrested. The family business had involved refining parts of small mollusks that my father's employees fished out of the Berber Sea. The parts had been used in a lot of machinery in Berber, and it had always created a steady income for the family business. But after the parts had started to be used in military vehicles, demand had increased, and new people had opened businesses. Bad people. Eventually, since my father had held a lot of old contracts with the city, some shady deals had been made by some bad people, all of which wound up with Papa getting thrown in prison. I still don't have proof of it to this day, but I have a good idea of who was involved. Then my father had mysteriously wound up murdered in prison. My birth mother hadn't lasted much longer after that. I still believe she died of a broken heart. Regina, my second mother, had vanished, taking my 2 little sisters with her. I never heard from them again. I still don't know why she didn't take me, too. I'd been left alone. I came home one day, and my house was locked up. I had nothing. I had been 10 years old at the time. Luckily, I'd known Arin. To this day, I prefer not to think about where my life might have gone if I'd been truly alone. Arin had been a street kid I used to play with. Her mother had been a nice lady who'd lived in an alley and tried to make the place feel like a home. I think that Arin's first mother had been a soldier, as well as her father, and they'd both died at the same time. Her birth mother hadn't had much, but she'd made do. When I'd been homeless, I'd come to Arin, crying, and somehow began making a new life for myself. The streets of Bittertown could be brutal for orphaned kids, but I'd survived. 13 years later, I was a claw in the Jackal's gang, in charge of my own pack, and Arin was part of my pack. She could have had her own pack years ago, but she'd wanted to stay in mine. Our friend Gonal was currently in my pack, too. I knew the impulsive woman could be bad news, but Arin had had a thing for her for a while. She'd always had a terrible taste in women. This day had been like most others. We'd been loitering on Tanner Street, one of our favorite places to just bleed time. Evadne had been talking about some man she'd fucked. I hadn't been paying attention. Evadne always had some story of a new conquest, and we generally believed her. The bitch was a shiner. She was like a venom demon on two legs, but was also still the best looking of us all. She knew it, too. And yeah, she looked sweet, but her big eyes, high cheekbones, and curly auburn hair all belonged to a killer. Evadne had zero relax switch. I knew of at least 5 rival gang girls she'd probably killed, but I never said a thing. My loyalty was to the Jackals, not laws. I'd start giving a rot about laws if the guard gave a rot about me. Eating was more important than fancy rules. Gunal had been listening to all of Yavadne's yucca shit like she always did, club propped up on her shoulder, chewing gum. She was attractive enough, I guess. I personally thought she had kind of a pinched face, but I'm not attracted to women, so what do I know? She definitely had Arin's attention. Gunal had dark hair, full lips, and bright eyes. She could be charming, too, but also as crazy as a 5-clawed, long-fanged, feline rage demon trapped in a sack with a whole hive of Ludus hornets. The girl was a firm ally, but she saw everybody and everything that was not a Jackal gang member as an enemy. Since I was the claw of this pack, she was both my greatest tool and my greatest liability. I had to be careful. Controlling Gunal was like playing with a snake by the tail. Plus, Arin was in love with her. I wish my friend would just admit it. Sometimes I felt more like a nurse than a gang leader. Arin herself was more of a sister than my sisters had ever been. I loved my friend. Arin definitely wasn't homely like me. She wasn't a shiner like Evadne, but still had her own sort of beauty. Tall with no curves, Arin's feet were as big as a man's, and her shoulders were so square you could cut bronze with them. But she definitely still turned heads. Her presence could brighten up a room, and her smile was quick, clever. Arin could give almost anyone a better day just by existing. She could be anyone's friend. She was a better person than I could ever hope to be. Arin wasn't one of the better fighters in the Jackals, but she always used the power she had to protect the other girls. She was loyal, honest, and smart. When I had lost my family and didn't have anything to give in return, Arin had still asked her mother to take me in. Her little family had accepted me and suffered no small amount of hardship from that. The memory still shamed me. My family had tried to discourage me from playing with Arin when I had been young. Then her family had saved my life. Arin was incredible. She always had my back and had introduced me to the Jackals as soon as she'd joined. It hadn't been her fault that I'd been taken in by Lisa, and it wasn't either of our faults that the vile woman was the Jackals' second leader now. I think Arin still blamed herself, though. I knew what I looked like. All broad shoulders, no curves, no waist. I was not beautiful. The only concession I made to vanity was dyeing my hair blonde. I liked how it looked. Slightly taller than average, the one thing Lisa had been right about when she'd tried to hurt me was that no man would ever want me. That's fine. They still wanted my coin. At least the working boys did. All of us, me, Arin, Gonal, and Evadne, always wore our Jackals' vests and carried the official weapons of the gang, clubs and shivs. Our Jackals' clubs were basically a carved oval on a stick. The weapon was handy because as long as we didn't use enough force to break the club itself, we wouldn't kill any rival gang members in a scuffle, which prevented bringing the guard down on us. Well, usually. The moment leading up to my spiral of memories had begun when we had seen the strange girl coming down the street towards us. She'd been wearing an odd, flowing outfit of dark material with a light-colored belt. In one hand, she held an unfamiliar type of club, made of bunches of sticks bundled together. In the other hand, she held a box.
"Who's this bitch?" muttered Gonal.
"Looks like a normie."
I had felt the tension, too. Bittertown wasn't the largest city in Berber, but was still a port city with some strong fighters. Even rare orb-bonded warriors passed through. The girl approaching us had walked far more confidently than she should have been doing. Heading directly towards a group of jackals on Tanner Street was not something most normies did. This was my pack's turf, and everyone knew it. The approaching girl hadn't seemed to care. Her head had been on a swivel, examining the buildings around her in the fading light as dusk began to fall. "This one sure is confident. And pretty," I'd thought. "Some people have all the luck." The strange girl's eyes had had epicanthic folds, her skin pale and smooth, her lips shapely. I don't think I'd ever seen a girl with such long eyelashes before. Her features had been refined, and except for the confident way she held her sword-like club, it had looked like she'd never done a day's work in her life. As she'd gotten closer, I'd realized that the newcomer was actually closer to my own age, about 23 or so. Unlike me, though, she had had perfect skin and clear eyes. The beautiful girl had asked,
"Excuse me, where am I? Did you see anyone leave me in that alley? Is this a prank? I remember falling asleep in my dorm room, but I just woke up in an alley with nothing but my shinai and this weird box with a note."
A bit of worry seemed to have been creeping into her voice. Nobody had said anything, and the stranger had drawn nearer, her body language obviously distressed. With a start, I had realized, she's speaking English. I hadn't spoken English in a long time, so my mind felt rusty as it had turned the words over, double-checking the meaning. The strange girl had come even closer. She had asked,
"Are you girls part of a team? Can you help me? The note is signed by someone named Dolos, and I really don't understand what is going on. This doesn't look like Ottawa. Am I still even in Ottawa?"
Now the words had started coming together in my mind, and I had begun to understand the situation. My father had never talked much about his first couple years on Ludus, but I'd gathered they hadn't been pleasant. Maybe this new girl had just been transported here, to Bittertown. Wow, now that would have been some terrible luck. I had started thinking about what to say to her, to this new but somehow interesting person. I had wanted to make sure I was hearing her right first, so I wouldn't sound stupid.
"I can pay for help," the strange girl had said, tears in her eyes. Her voice broke. "I just want to go home. I'm worried about my cat and..."
The sickening crunch echoed through the empty street as Yevadne's club lashed out, solidly smashing the newcomer in the side of the head. The shiner fell like a stone, lying on the pavement with a surprised expression, tears still in the corners of her eyes, blood oozing from a nostril. Yevadne's club had broken. The strange girl's eyes had been open, unseeing, and her body had started spasming with nerves. The scene had taken on a dreamlike quality, like I was an observer. Like I wasn't part of the world. I was usually the type of woman to react quickly to changes, but this situation had not struck me as real yet. I'd just been trying to understand what the girl had been saying, and now she was just... gone. My reflection ended, the deluge of memories slowed to a trickle. I snapped back to reality and back to the present. An uneasy feeling was growing in my heart, a premonition I had not felt for a long, long time. I sincerely hoped that it was just nerves, but the last time I'd felt this, my life had changed completely. I'd been 10 years old at the time. Gonal snarled,
"Yevadne, you dumb cunt! Why did you do that? She's dead now!"
The jackal girl's dark, shoulder-length hair swished as she shook her head.
"She was pretty, and I didn't recognize her from another gang. Maybe she wanted to join. She wasn't threatening us, and she had a club. Maybe she was a fighter without a group."
I noticed that Yevadne's pupils were dilated, maybe with adrenaline, but it was possible she had been using drugs again. Normally, I didn't judge. Bittertown was a people swamp, and as long as my pack didn't put the rest of us in danger, they could do what they wanted. At that moment, I began questioning my stance on the subject. The auburn-haired killer bent down, first testing the body for a pulse, then picking up the fallen club. Yevadne swished the weapon through the air and tisked. She growled,
"This club is shit! It has no force!"
She threw the unfamiliar weapon to the side where it clattered on the cobblestones before coming to rest.
"I didn't mean to kill her. She just sounded dumb as rot with that wah-wah-wah language she was using. None of you understood her either. How could she join up if she couldn't speak Luda?"
Not for the first time, I was struck by how stupid Yevadne could be. It seemed she hadn't even paused to wonder why a strange girl in unfamiliar clothing would have been walking towards us in Bittertown, not speaking Luda.
"You're going to bring the guard down on our necks," Gonal hissed.
"Gonal is right," said Auron. "You really shouldn't have killed her. That was a waste. Plenty of people probably saw it, too. These streets always have eyes."
When I heard that, I nodded, agreeing with my best friend. Yevadne rolled her eyes.
"Oh, shut it, Auron. You'll agree with Gonal on anything."
Auron tried to school her expression, but I noticed her embarrassment. Auron's crush apparently wasn't a secret.
"We can claim self-defense," Yevadne said. "This bitch had a weapon, and she walked right up to us. She was asking for it. The guard don't care about anyone dying in this part of the city anyway. Not unless they have money. I doubt this normie had any money. She wasn't wearing shoes."
Yevadne pointed at the dead girl's bare feet as she bent down again, grabbing the box that she had been holding.
"What's this?" she muttered as she opened the box.
When the lid came up, I saw the Dolos orb. I'd never seen one before, but I immediately recognized what it had to be. A small note that had been in the box fluttered down to the street, and nobody moved at first. Gonal reached towards the box, almost in a trance.
"Let me see that," she said.
Yevadne jerked the box away, and it fell to the ground. Gonal bent down, grabbing for it, but froze when a bronze blade materialized in her throat. I followed the weapon up the arm holding it to see Yevadne's wild expression. She breathed heavily, staring down at Gonal, then deliberately jerked her shiv out of her packmate's neck and let her fall. Gonal's eyes were wide as she managed to land on her side, staring up at Yevadne with dismayed, confused eyes. The blade had penetrated all the way through to exit out the back of her neck. Her hand on her throat didn't stem the torrential flow of blood. The strike had been mortal. Gonal's dark eyes eventually darkened with betrayal and despair. Her full lips moved soundlessly as she tried to speak, but the terrible wound prevented her from making anything but a croaking sound. The fallen Dolos orb came to a stop in the growing puddle of blood. The piece of paper that had come with it was already submerged, ruined. The three of us still standing knew that there would be no saving Gonal. Gonal knew it too, and after one last accusatory glare at Yevadne, the loyal jackal closed her eyes and let oblivion take her. I felt shocked to my core. Everything felt surreal, like I was drunk and high on several drugs at the same time. Once again, there was a still moment before Auron, breathing heavily, screamed and threw herself at Yevadne.
"You killed Gonal! Fake jackal! Rotting traitor!"
Auron had acted before I was even past my shock yet, and in horror, I watched my friend's wild swing hit nothing before she got stabbed once, twice, three times in the chest. Auron had never been a great fighter. Yevadne, on the other hand, was a born killer. The beautiful woman stood over my fallen friend, and my first reaction wasn't rage or fear. Instead, I experienced a deep, aching sadness. The jackals had been my second family. For over a decade, the rough but loyal group had included all my closest friends and greatest rivals. With very few exceptions, I loved all of them. And in that moment, I knew it was all rotted. I wasn't able to see Auron's wounds, but I knew she was hurt badly to have fallen the way she had. Both as the leader of the jackals, a friend, and a real woman, I knew what I had to do. I shied away from the dismay of what I'd just witnessed by embracing my duty. Life might be gray, but duty was black and white.
"Just you and me, huh, Nora?"
Yevadne licked her lips nervously. She held her shiv in a practiced hand, but faced me warily. I studied her face and noticed she was sweating. Her eyes were not normal. There was definitely something wrong with her. "You killed Auron," I said simply. I let my club drop and drew my own shiv from my boot. The weapon was really nothing more than a bronze blade with two pieces of wood bolted on for a handle, but it was sharp and effective. For this fight, keeping my club would have been an advantage, but for something like this, I had to do it right. Blade to blade. Yevadne squared off with me cautiously, and for good reason. The beautiful woman had a dangerous reputation in the Jackals, but she'd never beaten me in a spar. In fact, after I'd turned 15, nobody had. Not once. Lisa Delone might be a horrible person who had taken my innocence, but she was one of the most dangerous people in Bittertown. And when she'd taught me, I'd unexpectedly learned I had a talent for violence, only rivaled by my head for languages. The irony was that I hadn't really wanted to hurt anyone for most of my life. Whenever I fought earnestly, it was usually because I had to. Like now.
"Hey, Nora, we have the Dolos Orb. How about we sell it and split it 50-50?
Yevadne's knife twitched, and she began slowly circling. I absently wondered if her offer was sincere. Probably not. She was more than likely just trying to distract me. The only reason she probably hadn't tried running was that I was faster than she was, and she knew the moment she turned, my knife would be in her back.
"You should join up with me," she said. "We need to move fast, though. I bet people are sending messages about the orb right now. I mean, it's in the middle of the rotting street. Someone is always watching."
"I don't know what you were thinking, Yevadne," I said, shaking my head. "You were always a crazy bitch. But this is a new level. What did you think would happen? Like you said, people are always watching. Did you think you'd get away from the Jackals? You're a dead woman, even if not by my hand." Yevadne laughed, the sound shrill.
"The same goes for you, Nora. You think Lisa is going to ignore this chance to put you in the rotting ground? Not a chance. You'll be the claw that killed her pack. You know she can and will make that stick. Listen, Nora, I have some new friends. Friends that I think would take me in, and maybe you too."
"What are you talking about?"
"I have discovered religion, Nora."
Yevadne grinned, and in that moment I knew something was truly wrong with her, deeply wrong. Maybe something had been changing for a while, and I'd just been too blind to see it. This was not the same Yevadne I'd known a year before.
"What has the Creator ever done for you, Nora? We get shit on our whole lives and still just die for people who don't care about us. The dark gods give real gifts, Nora. Things you can see and touch. You should come with me."
I shook my head, my sadness deepening. What was going on with my city, my world? I'd noticed strange things over the last couple of years, but largely ignored them. One of my bad habits, I suppose. One thing Yevadne was right about was that people would be coming soon. I also knew she was right about the Jackals. I wouldn't have been in danger if Lisa hadn't been the second leader. But she was, and my fate was sealed. I would figure everything out later. For now, Arryn was hurt, and I needed to get her some help. Before I could do that, I needed to deal with Yevadne. She'd been in my pack for 2 years, though. I had to do this right. "Yevadne, one of us will live, and one of us will die. This is a Jackal's death duel."
"So be it, Nora. I've always wondered if you were really as tough as everyone thinks. I guess with a real fight we can find out."
Yevadne grinned, but I noticed the edge to her expression. Maybe her offer to come with her had been sincere. Dark gods? Betrayal? Rot that. I closed with Yevadne. It was time to fight my former packmate to the death and hopefully save Arryn. I didn't want to think about how badly my best friend could be hurt, but I couldn't do anything for her while Yevadne was still mobile. I absolutely didn't trust the crazy redhead not to try finishing what she'd started. For her to do anything other than run away wouldn't be rational, but I'd seen the madness in her eyes now. There was also the Dolos Orb, worth a fortune, and she obviously wanted it. I rolled a shoulder and entered a special state of concentration. My floating time, I called it. The shiv in my hand felt like a part of me as I nimbly stepped forward on the bloody cobblestones. I set my jaw and steeled my heart. Complaining about rotten situations didn't make them go away. I'd learned that lesson at a young age.
Promises.
Yevadne attacked first, which was unusual for her. Usually she would wait for an opponent to make a mistake, then strike lightning fast, creating a lethal moment. I guess she decided to change things up because she was facing me. She knew I was quicker than she was, after all.
The auburn-haired woman threw a fist at my nose, but I leaned my forehead into the strike, letting her hand hit the top of my head. Just like I had expected, she'd been shuffling in to stab with her weapon hand. I pivoted, dodging the strike. The arm of her punching hand was a handy target, but she'd been prepared for a slash there, so I went for a lethal counterattack. Yevadne dodged my thrust and backed away. I'd been hoping she'd be crazy enough to grab my hair, but I wasn't that lucky. The mad woman had stayed rational enough to keep her hand. Damn! We circled for a few seconds after that, and Yevadne didn't try to talk to me anymore. That suited me just fine, but I could feel the seconds ticking by. Arin was hurt. I couldn't let this fight drag out. I'd never been very good at acting, but Yevadne had never been very good at not being crazy. When I pretended to stumble on the edge of a flagstone, she took the bait. Just like I'd expected, the beautiful killer darted in, her knife going for a killing strike to my heart, while her other hand darted out to secure my knife hand. If I'd actually stumbled, the attack would have been extremely effective. Instead, I dodged the strike and twisted my weapon arm, circling my hand, and deeply gashing Yevadne's forearm. She fell back, hissing, and I noted the way the blood began falling from her free hand. Good cut. Her hand looked limp, but I was wary. Yevadne was a tricky bitch and could be faking tendon damage. Normally in a knife fight, both fighters should expect to get cut. It's a good rule of thumb that shiv to shiv, the fight will be nasty and even the winner will still lose. I'm not normal, though. My reflexes were good, but more importantly, when I was in my floating time mode, I had a knack for sensing the right moment to act. It was hard to explain, but when I felt like I should, I went all in. I'd only ever told Arin about it, and she'd explained to me that it wasn't something she had. Maybe most people didn't have it. Arin, I needed to finish this fight quickly. For a few seconds, Yevadne and I circled, our blades flicking out, testing the other's defense. I really needed her to commit to an attack. The problem with short blades was that going for the kill might win the fight, but it will probably also get you stabbed or cut in the process. This was less than ideal, even if you managed to win. Yevadne was a cagey fighter, and I didn't think she'd fall for the same trick twice. If I'd had time, I could have worn her down. But I didn't. Arin was bleeding out. I would have to take a gamble. The next time I slashed and Yevadne counterattacked, I let her nick my offhand arm. I recoiled, letting the actual injury sell my feign. In response, she didn't commit as much as I would have liked, but she still stepped forward to push the attack. Once again, her action would have been correct if I hadn't been bluffing. Unfortunately for her, I knew exactly how to reverse the momentum on her. I darted forward, grabbing Yevadne's knife wrist with my free hand. She tried to disengage her wrist from my grasp, hop back, and turn away all at the same time. But it was too late. In a last-ditch effort of defense, she attempted to grab my knife hand. She failed. I'd always been faster. My shiv danced forward, my hand guiding the blade around Yevadne's flailing arm. The first strike was bad. I hit a rib. The bronze shiv bent from the strike, but I didn't let it stop me. I kept stepping into Yevadne as she backed away. In my floating time, Yevadne wasn't an old comrade anymore, or even the woman who had attacked her own packmates. She was an obstacle to overcome. Strike, 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 strike! My blade stabbed Yevadne in the stomach, under the ribs, and near the collarbone. I really wanted to put my shiv in her throat, but her last-ditch defense was at least good enough to stop me from doing that. I also didn't want to chance a reversal of the situation, so I remained hyper-focused and brutal as I struck down the beautiful redhead. After one last slash to her arm itself, she stumbled, and I kicked the cancerous bitch away. Yevadne fell back to the cobblestones, coughing up blood. She weakly threw her shiv at me, which I easily dodged. I shook my head, dropped my floating time state of mind, and knelt next to Arin. Yevadne was a dead woman now. Even if I hadn't hit anything vital, she'd bleed out soon. I doubt she'd have the strength to crawl. I gently put my hands on Arin and checked her pulse as the red-haired girl I'd just dispatched painfully propped herself on one arm to look at me. The pool of blood under Yevadne was massive and growing. The entire street was slick with blood at this point.
"You think you've won, but you've accomplished nothing," sneered Yevadne.
Then she laughed, sounding even madder than before.
"It doesn't matter. Asag is coming to Ludus, and all of you will die, raped by demons, your entrails pulled out.
The faithful will inherit this entire world. I was just following orders, Nora. Orders from the Dark God. I will be rewarded.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?